sneeze and hack and cough and all of that all the way through this, but it won't be the first time. Upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Millions have found him a friend, and have turned from the sins they have sinned. The Savior still waits to open the gate and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Thank you. All right. I didn't hack and cough. I just didn't hit the right cards part of the time. Luke chapter 7. And we continue with our look at the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, Luke chapter 7, and we're going to start reading with verse 36 and read through the end of the chapter. The actual parable is found in verses 41 and 42. But the whole thing goes together. Verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Don't you love somebody with that? She is a sinner. Well, yeah, like you ain't. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. And here's what the parable Jesus told. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. And so now some have taken verse 47 and said that this woman just loved Jesus so much as how come she got saved. That's not what saved her. Jesus said what saved her in verse 50. He said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. She got saved by faith just like you did if you got saved. And so, as I mentioned, the actual parable is in verses 41 and 42. And we'll look tonight at this parable of the creditor and the debtors. Now, Father, we pray that you'll help us as we look to your word tonight. We ask that the Holy Spirit might empower us and enable us to say what we should say and make proper application and stress the things that need to be stressed. Please help us, I pray. If there's anybody here that's not saved, I pray they'll trust Christ and get saved. And I pray that you'll bless your people tonight through the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. And let me thank you, by the way, for your prayers for me. Thank you. And so we completed the last time that we looked at the parables. We completed that group of parables known as the parables of the kingdom. And now we have, probably about 10 more that fall under the general parables that Jesus told. And so the parable that we look at tonight, the parable of the creditor and the debtors. Now, this parable illustrates our attitude. Don't miss this. It illustrates our attitude toward our sinfulness and how this attitude will affect our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, let's look at these verses and consider what we can see from them. First, notice the setting in verses 36 through 39. And we see in verse 36, Simon's meal. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. So, this Pharisee that verse 40 tells us, his name was Simon, he invites Jesus to come to his house for a meal, and Jesus accepts the invitation and goes to this Pharisee Simon's place for this meal. Now, in the Lord's day, they had a different way of eating at the table than we normally do today. We usually will sit in an upright chair, like I'm sitting in the chair here. You sit at the chair at the table and eat like that. But they didn't do it that way in the Lord's culture in that day. Rather, they would be in a reclining position. The table was usually horseshoe-shaped, and the people would sit on the outside of the table. Cots would be pulled up to the table. The person would recline on the cot, supporting his weight on his right arm like that, and feeding himself with his left hand like that. I always thought that's a pretty good idea. I'll just move the bed into the table, you know. And but that was how they what they did in that day, and that's why this woman could come from behind and be at his feet, was because his feet were out back like that with his head up toward the table. Notice then in verses 37 and 38, the sinful woman. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And so, as Jesus is reclining at the table, a woman that the Bible says was a sinful woman comes and stands behind him at his feet. This woman is called a sinner. It means the implication is that she was an outward, obvious, open sinner. She was probably a harlot. But she had brought a box of perfumed ointment with which to anoint the Lord Jesus. And as she stands at his feet, she begins to weep and then washes his feet with her tears, dries them with her hair, and anoints him with the ointment. Now, an incident like this happens later in Jesus' ministry. You can read about it in the first 8 verses of John chapter 12 when Mary of Bethany anointed him not just a week or so before his crucifixion, but that's a separate incident. Now, some have confused these two, but these are not the same incident. This woman is not Mary of Bethany, and Mary of Bethany is not this woman. And so, but this woman, I've often thought Mary of Bethany may have gotten the idea from hearing the story about what this woman did. And I've often thought that Mary may have thought, well, I love Jesus as much as she does, and went and bought some ointment and did the same thing. But at any rate, this woman anoints him and with this precious ointment. And then notice in verse 39, the sarcastic Pharisee. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. So Simon the Pharisee, the one hosting the meal, knows this is a sinful woman, and he just can't believe that Jesus would allow a sinful woman to get close to him, and thus he figures that the only explanation is that Jesus doesn't know that this is a sinful woman. And this leads him to believe that Jesus is not God's man, because he assumes that if Jesus were truly a prophet, he would have known who this woman was and would not have allowed her to touch him. Boy, thank God Jesus ain't like these Pharisees thought he was. I read that verse over in Luke chapter 15 where it's talking about the setting for the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son. And it said, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I always think every time I read that, yeah, thank God he does. That's how I got in. And that's how you got in too, if you got in. And so then, here we have then the setting, Jesus at the home of this Pharisee for a meal. This sinful woman comes in and anoints him with precious ointment, and the Pharisee is then thinking, well, this guy can't really be a man of God, or he wouldn't let this sinful woman around him. Then we come to the parable in verses 40 through 43. So Jesus, he knew what Simon was thinking, and so he tells the parable. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had 2 debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And so Jesus then tells this parable. 2 men owe money to a creditor. One of these men owes the fellow 50 pence. The other owes him 500 pence. A penny was a normal day's wage in Christ's day. So here these two were, one of them owes 10 dimes more than the other one does. But the point of it is neither one of them had the money to pay. The one that owed 50 pence didn't have the money to pay. The one that owed 500 pence didn't have the money to pay. Neither one of them had the money to pay the guy. And so the creditor marks off the debts and clears both men of responsibility to pay and says, hey, you don't have to pay. So one was forgiven a 50 pence debt. The other was forgiven a 500 pence debt. And Jesus then asked the Pharisee, well, which of the two debtors would appreciate the creditor's forgiveness the most? Well, the Pharisee says that the one who had been forgiven the larger debt would appreciate it the most. And Jesus says, well, you're right about that. Okay, now the application in verses 44 through 47, we're going to read these and then I'm going to say some things about them. Verse 44, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. This parable, let me tell you what it doesn't mean, first of all. Are you listening? Because this is one of the most misapplied parables that there is. People have the idea that what it means is that some guy that goes and lives in terrible, wicked, awful sin and finally gets saved when he's 30 or 40 years old will love the Lord Jesus Christ a whole lot more than somebody that got saved when they were a kid. Now, it often does happen that way, but that's not what this means, and it doesn't have to happen that way, and it shouldn't happen that way. Now, there are two things that you need to understand. Whether you were saved when you were 90, if there's anybody that old here, or whether you were saved when you were 6, you need to know two things and apply them in connection with this parable. Number one, every one of us owed exactly the same debt. The wages of sin is death. If you've lived your whole life and only committed one sin, you owe the wage of death. That's physical death and ultimately spiritual death in its totality, the second death, which is the lake of fire. Everybody owes that debt. Second thing you need to understand is this. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive anybody of any sin. If you got saved when you were 6, it took as much Christ shedding his blood for you to get saved as much as it took for some guy that got saved when he was 50. Now, if you keep those two things in your mind, then you understand there's no, as it says, Romans 3, 22 and 23, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No difference. Now, there's difference in the amounts of sin, the types of sin, but as to the fact of sin and the penalty of sin and all of that, there's no difference. And what it takes to deliver from sin. There's no difference. Now, so the point has to do with how we perceive our own sin and the forgiveness that God gave to us when we trusted Christ. That's what it's dealing with, is how we perceive it. Jesus makes the application, setting himself forth as the creditor and Simon and the sinful woman as the debtors. Jesus points out to Simon the Pharisee that he had not given Jesus even the normal courtesies of the day that were extended to anybody that came to somebody's house, washing their feet and giving the kiss on the cheek of greeting. That was a common courtesy that was extended to anybody that came to visit. He also points out that this Simon the Pharisee had not honored him by anointing him. However, this sinful woman had done all of these things that Simon hadn't done any of. The point is, Simon felt no obligation because he didn't see himself as a great sinner and apparently didn't see himself as a sinner at all. The way he said in verse 39 about the woman, for she is a sinner, I mean, it's as though he's implying that he thinks he wasn't. So he felt no obligation because he didn't see himself as a great sinner. The woman recognized her sinfulness, and her attitude toward her sinfulness affected her attitude toward the Savior. Because she saw herself as a great sinner, she saw Jesus as a great Savior. And her heart flowed over with gratitude toward Him because of His forgiveness, you see. And then we see salvation, verses 48 through 50, and He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with Him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And He said to the woman, like Jesus just ignored them, they can say whatever they want to. He said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. And the same Jesus looks into that sinful woman's heart and sees penitent faith there and declares her forgiven on the basis of her faith. Now, that's how she got saved, according to what Jesus said here, thy faith hath saved thee. That's how she got saved. That's how you'll get saved too, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I urge you tonight to come to Him and receive Him and be saved. If you are saved, whenever you got saved, whether as a small child or as an adult or whatever, you owed the same penalty every other sinner owed. The blood of Christ, which is what saves any sinner, is what saved you. And so realize what you are and what the Lord did for you. And that realization will help us to have the attitude toward the Lord of gratitude and thankfulness that we ought to have.